I'd like to start with the first chapter of Joshua. Maybe lay a little foundation for this thought first. Seems to me that it's obvious that the Old Testament scriptures, especially the life of the children of Israel, was an analogy for Christian life. It seems, it seems obvious that it is, and it's used in the New Testament that way. One scripture even talks about the Old Testament being schoolmaster for the new, to help us to understand the spiritual applications to a natural walk. And the children of Israel ended up down in Egypt, where they become slaves and servants to Egypt. And it is a close analogy that's used in the Bible, that is the way sin is. It is like being captive of something. And so they were, the deliverance that was there was a deliverance out of the life of slavery and all. And they were there in the time and they needed a deliverer. And there was a lot plays into it. If you look into all the analogies from the Passover was a series of analogies that we use today to understand what Christ did. You know, the death angel was coming and they was commanded that they could save themselves by putting blood on the doorposts and over the door. And when the death angel saw that the death angel would pass by, and it was called the Passover, and the Jewish people, still observe Passover to this day. It was a big part of that, but that was, to us, that was an illustration that, because we don't believe in the power of blood of the goats and things that they put over it, of a kid goat, there was no power in that, but that represents to us the blood of Jesus. And we recognize that there is a salvation in that. And so it went on, and the children of Israel, I think it's notable. I think we should pay attention to it. In the journeys of the children of Israel, how God had got them out and delivered them out of Egypt, and he brought them down through the time they was going, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and he comes after them. They get their backs to the sea, and God delivered them by opening up the Red Sea. It talked about a wind, an east wind, I think, it opened up, and there's illustrations of that. And the children of Israel passed by over the Red Sea by a divine way. They didn't do it themselves. It was the divine. Moses said, stand still and see the hand of God. See the power of God here. See what God can do. And God opened it up. And they passed over with a mighty deliverance. Water come back in and destroyed the Egyptians. We know the story. And then they sang the song of Moses and of deliverance that they had done that. It didn't take Israel very far after that to get in trouble again, though, did it? All of this is an illustration of, I believe, of God wanting us to have an understanding of the spiritual walk. And he brought them to a place to go over the Jordan and receive the promise that God had made them. So they come to this point to go and receive what God had promised them for 400 years or better. Since the days of Abraham, here comes the promise, and you're ready to do it. But do you know that the children of Israel was not yet in a place to go and get the promises that God had made? And they come and they failed there at this part of it. They weren't in Egypt anymore. But they wasn't in Canaan land either yet anymore. I mean, they didn't make it there. And so as the story goes, we know the story, God was displeased for them, and they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. And then there comes a time, and we're going to look at this time, because it comes to the time of Joshua year, and here's the setting of this taste. And now they come again. And I think we ought to pay attention to this, because there's a lot of doctrine out there. But God delivered the Israel by a mighty deliverance of opening up the Red Sea, and they crossed over on dry land, and now here comes the scenario again. There's something significant about the idea that God's going to split, He's going to stop the Jordan, and He's going to open it up again. They're going to walk across dry land again. Here is a second time God is going to do this work for them. And that's not really my message. I just wanted to set the foundation that there is evidence, a lot of evidence in the Scripture, that this is all an analogy for the Christian life. And there is so much meaning in this. And if you look into things like the tabernacle, I don't know if you ever did this or not, but do you know that the old tabernacle was a beautiful display of salvation? If you come up at a distance and looked at, or I should say, maybe even the church, or maybe our lives, Christian lives as an example, when you come up and looked at the tabernacle, you know what you saw? You saw badger skin and goat skin. That's what the outside of it was made about. Nothing fantastic. This wasn't the Taj Mahal. This wasn't some great cathedral. This wasn't something that you awed at or that you looked at. It was a tent. It was on the outside of this. God is trying to tell us something with this. God made the universe, and He could have made that tabernacle out of glittering gold and diamonds if He wanted to, and He didn't want to because He wanted to tell us something in our experience. You know what? The inside of the tabernacle, it had all its things, and all of them was beautifully. There was a court, there was the inner court, there was the inner sanctuary, there was places where people couldn't, the priest could only go one time a year in there, and only that with a sacrifice and a certain way. There was an old story, I don't know that the Bible says this, but there was a Jewish story that said that they would tie a rope to the priest's leg because nobody would dare go get the body of a priest if he wasn't right and God struck him down in there. They wanted to be able to hoist him out. You wouldn't want to go in there because they had a fear of this. Well, the New Testament description was when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent. And the temple and the tabernacle were similarly made. And anyway, the temple was rent. God didn't do a lot to say the outside was beautiful, but inside was made of tapestry of purple. And there was golden vessels, and everything was done in a certain way. Till the outside you saw plainness and durability and strength. It was made out of hides. It was rough and could take the weather and the beating of life and all of those things. But inside it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't drawing to any fleshly way at all. But the inside. You know, this was a depiction of Christ Himself. Christ was not comely to look about, it, Isaiah said. He was uncomely. He didn't come to wow us with His physical physique and His great beauty. And he didn't shine like when He came here. No, He was a plain. He was plain outside. And there's hardly no description of Him on the outside, except for Isaiah said that He was uncomely. But inside, it was gold. Inside, it was beauty. And so there's a real depiction of this. And I want to set that standard because I want to look at Joshua, first chapter. It starts out by saying, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now, here's the setting of this. Moses is dead, and now a new era has started. The old has gone away. Now Moses is gone. The time of the wandering of the children of Israel in 40 years and the death of all of those that was disobedient to God, he said they would all die. Now they're gone. Everybody, I think, that was 20 and under would be there at this time except for Caleb and Joshua, the two that had embraced God's promises. They were there, and now this is the setting, and now God is telling Joshua, okay, we've ended this era, Moses is over, and now I want you to take the people and fulfill what I had in mind to do. And once again, we remember the story, that they come, when they did come, the priest was bearing the Ark of the Covenant, they come up, and when they went to step into the water, the waters went up, and for the second time, God, it was a statement of God's work, God's deliverance, something God does. They went across the Jordan in there, and so we're up to that time here in this, and I want to notice this one because I want to talk a little bit about it. The third verse, the Lord says, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. So here's another place God had promised. Now, can you imagine? Well, I would like for somebody to say to me, I'll give you a few days and everything, every place your feet, every property that you can put your foot on around here, you can have it. Man, what I want to tell you, I'd do some marching. I mean, I would do some, I want to say how much, I would say, I want to see, you give me a week to do it, I'm going to see how much of Pocahontas County I can have. I'm going to take all the Greenbrier River. I like Greenbrier River. I'm going to go down that river. I'm going to own the river all the way down through there. I'm going to own Upper Greenbrier too. I'm going to own all that back in there. All of Holstermann, I'll get that. All the mountain back by the dirt track, I'm going to get all of it because that's promised to me. And if I can put my foot on it, I'm going to own it. Y'all watch out for your own property. You better be guarding it. I might come and get yours too. It ain't greedy. I'm telling you, this is a promise. He told these children of Israel. He did give a boundary of the will of God, but he gave them a huge boundary and said to them a promise. Every place that God says, I'll give it to you, but you have a part in this. If you want to go and get on the other side of the Jordan and make a camp there and stay there for the rest of your life, you can do it. If you want to, you'll never have anything. But if you want it, I'll give it to you. And he set a great boundary. And you know, I can't prove this, but history says this. Even modern history would suggest it. If you look at what God labeled off, do you know that the children of Israel only ever actually got about a third of what God told them they could have? He said, if you put your foot on it, that's all. If you want to claim it, wherever you can go, I'll give it to you. But they didn't have much desire to do it. They didn't have the real desire to say, what is God doing here? And this is I set the other up to say, this is an analogy of a Christian's life in a spiritual sense. God has made many, many precious promises. God has made many declarations of the victory that we can have in life and the spiritual place that we can have in life. And I want to say this, Brother Mansell used to say this a lot back years ago about living on short rations. Well, it's a reality that we can live on short rations and we can go through We can go through our lives with certain impediments. You might not look at as an impediment to natural life, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there's certain impediments to growth spiritually. There's certain impediments to it. There's no reason for us to think that I have to live with this temper I have. I have to live with that all my life. There's no reason for me to say that I come from a people that have a tendency to be bitter. I just want to mention this because it mentioned to me one time. Brother Crummy said to me, they're part of the, they don't mind being called Indians. You don't have to call them Native Americans. They don't mind the Indians. I'm only referred to the way they said to refer to them. There were an Indian group down in South Carolina. They're part of the Santee Indian people. And he made a comment to me one time about how they had a tendency, the Indian people had a tendency to hold an enormous grudge. He noticed it and said it to me, that they have a tendency to hide. And he made that comment about himself that he could have that. But that's not the end of the story. Supposing that you do have a tendency for something. The Lord said that I'll give you every land that you put your foot on. If you want to put your foot on a better land, I'll give you better than that. You can have victory over these things in your life, these little places in your life. But God didn't say, I'm just going to give you the land. You don't have to do anything for it. You just get your land. No, He said, you got to put your foot on it. And God, the way the Lord seems to work is He brings us to an understanding. He'll let something happen and it'll say, this is you. This is you. This is where you're at. Are you contented to live in this place to where you're quick-tempered, where you talk out of turn, where you do? Are you contented with what you're at? Are you contented with the dysfunction of your life? Because usually He'll show it to us and then He'll say, come on, I'll give you something more than that. They only ever actually owned a third of what God had said that He would give them. He made a boundary to them and said, you'll have everything within there that you can put your foot on if you can get it. All you got to do is put your foot on it and I'll give it to you. It's if you want it or don't. It really comes down. The New Testament says it this way. The kingdom suffereth violence. And the violent take it by force. It doesn't, you don't just wake up with it. It's a desire of our heart. It's where you can have it if you want it more than anything else. If you want a relationship with the Lord, you can have it. I'll give it to you. If you want to know what it's, I'll give it to you. I can never know. Only God can know things like this. How many blessings do we not get? How many gifts do we not see working? How much more does God want to do than He's doing, but He's not doing it because we don't step out for it? Because we're not taking the land that the Lord's really given us that can be a blessing to us. So He said that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. You remember what Caleb said? My strength is today like it was before. Give me the mountain. Caleb had something. Give me the mountains where the giants live. Well Caleb, the giants, I'm gonna tell you something about them giants. They ain't going back. They're not gonna just run off because you're coming. I mean, if you're going to go up against them giants, you're going to have to want that land bad. Because there's giants in that land. You know what my giants are? It's not you. It's not my neighbors. It's not the political systems. My giants is my own emotions. My giants is my own passions. The giants that I face isn't what somebody else does. The fears that I face inside, that's my giants. The worries, the fears, the anxieties, the things that I have to deal with, that's my big giants that I have to deal with. And the Lord said, I'll give you the lands of those giants. You can control all of those lands of the giants. If you want it, you can have it. I wonder if the analogy being true is that we've maybe taken a third of what maybe we've only really got a third of the land that we should have. Maybe we could have more power in prayer. Maybe we could have a stronger witness to people. Maybe, I don't know how it all works. Maybe we could have, by our testimony and living, we could have more people in here wanting to serve the Lord. I don't know. What land? Maybe we could have a better effect on our family and friends around us. Maybe they could see a clearer picture. The Bible talks about making straight paths for your feet. Why? Because there's somebody coming back behind you. Because there's going to be, I mean, it's hard for a lame man to walk in that way, they're saying. It's hard. Make a straight path for those because they need a straight path. They need to see God more real in our lives. You don't get that testimony generally just by coming to service. You should come for service. I say to everybody, you should come to service every time you can. You should. You should devote yourself to the things of God in those ways. But it's more than that. Because we can become just like the world, and this is our religion. This is who we are. This is what we do. That's not what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have land conquered. We're supposed to have something that is real everywhere we go. We're supposed to be able to express Christ. Somebody said recently, and I think we all ought to consider this. I consider it regularly, and it's because I'm getting older, but I consider it regularly. Somebody made this statement. To whom much is given, much is required. That was a simple little statement. To whom much is given, much is required. Look how much we've been given. I mean, honestly, look how good we live. Look how comfortable we live. Look how much money we've got saved. Look how much situation we're in. God is counting all of that and saying, to much is given, much is required. You're not going to require from somebody that don't have nothing. But to those that's been given, you're going to be required of it. I think about it regularly because I think of, Lord, I've really enjoyed this really cushy life you've given me. I really enjoyed having what you've had and gave to me. I really do that. I really enjoy it. But just to get into rut and just enjoy my good life, God, no, to whom much is given, much is required. I can't help from thinking, Lord, what are you going to require? What are you really requiring? And do you really say, that stuff you have is mine? I gave it to you. What are you going to be doing with that? What land are you conquering with it? What are you actually doing with it? And I followed Brother Michael's trip to Pakistan as much as I could. I followed it and followed their distribution of this stuff and followed their some of the meetings and stuff and saw this enormous crowd of people that was coming that they was ministering to and saw what they was doing. And I couldn't help from thinking, this is why to much whom much is given, much is required. That's a conquering a little bit more land. That's taking in a little bit. I'm going to give you this. Here it is. You know that I'm not the Holy Ghost, of course, and I can't predict anything. But you can have, you can be directly responsible for somebody's salvation. You might be the very vessel that God wants to use to bring somebody to Christ. You might be the very one. And if not that, some sow, some water. But it's God that gives the increase. There's a place for everybody to be in and a working place in the Lord, conquering the ground. It's not just something you can put your finger on or say physically, I see them preaching, I see them writing, I see them singing songs, I see them doing that. Conquering ground is spiritual ground in your own life. I've got more grace. I've got more ability to pray. We need prayer warriors. We need people that are praying and touching God and moving God that we're able to take those ground. There's another scripture in Kings that goes along with this, 2 Kings. The children of Israel, by the way, did cross by faith. God moved Joshua and they went across. And some people, there's even a song, the crossing of the Jordan, like going to heaven. And there's an analogy there if you want to use it. But the Canaan land is not representative of heaven, I'll tell you that. Because heaven isn't full of battles and giants and all the things that Canaan was full of. No, Canaan is a part of the life's experience here that he wants us to look at. You've crossed the second one, though. You're fighting for your home now. You're fighting for your spiritual life in this situation. And there is victory here. He said, I'm going to give it to you. This is where you belong. You can have it, but you're going to have to fight for it. And so they did. They went across and they had victories. They had failures. They had places. But they was able to go and do it, but they never got their potential, even close to their potential of what God really wanted them to do. So while you're in Kings, 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, the 14th verse starts and says, Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. So get the picture here of this. If you stop there with that, it gives you a certain idea. He said, till you consume them. This was the plan of God. That here, and again, notice the analogies. The Bible uses them a lot so we can understand something. He actually takes and gives him a visual. He shoots this arrow. This arrow flies. There's a visual here. You're going to be able to consume. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. It's shot. The Lord shot it. It's on its way, folks. The intention of God has been shot. You can consume your enemies. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times, then shalt thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. So God shot the arrow of his intention to consume their enemies completely. You're done with them. You're through. You don't have to worry about Syria. You have consumed them. Now let's see God's intention. Now let's see your intention. They got to match up. I'm going to give you all this land. Here it is by decree. God gave Israel from Lebanon all the way to the great river Euphrates and all the way eastward to the ocean. Basically, the setting of the sun to the seashore. Going to give you all of this land. That's my intention. He shot his arrow. Then he said to them, whatever your foot can touch. And they didn't match up. They didn't get what God told them. You can have. He told him, here's you a deliverance. Here's my intention. You can consume them. Now, let's see your intention. So he gets the arrow. In my mind, the prophet had in his mind that the king would have said, this is what I've been praying for. This is, we've been laboring. We've been fasting for this. And start striking the ground. You said, you want to see my intention? I'm passionate enough to do whatever the Lord wants me to do to get victory right here. You know, sometimes the Lord's got to bring us to that kind of a place. The Lord has to work with us sometimes for our intentions to match His intention. I want you to get victory. I want you to overcome the devil. I want you to be right in your life. I love you more than you love you. I want you to be right in your life. And here's my intention. And He's got to bring us to the same intention. What are you willing to get to the place? So I'm willing and fast and pray for this situation. I'm willing to show, God, I'm serious about this thing. I'll bring this up in case, I don't know if anybody in here would even remember it, but several years ago, Sister Karen, she's Goldtree now, but she had went to Africa over on a mission trip and got malaria. And they don't put malaria people on planes, she couldn't get all, and it was during Monarch, and they were over there and they were desperate, and God has made promises that I will take care of you, I will be with you, I won't forsake you. Here is the arrow of my intention. Every time I shoot, I give you the arrow of my intention. This is what I want. I'll stand by you. What do you guys want? The whole camp at Monarch, I remember there was quite a thing going on at Monarch. Sister Karen was stuck over with malaria in Africa and needed to catch her flight and get home. And they're going to need some miracles to get her home, needed a touch from the Lord. God, you got to do something. And the whole camp was fasting and praying. And everybody was calling on the Lord. We mean it. We're striking that arrow. We're hitting the ground. Lord, have mercy on us. If you got another mind, change it. We need to help you. And he done it until God started performing miracle after miracle after miracle to get her and got her back home and touched her. And I mean, it wasn't it. There was times at Monarch after that, I remember going and laying hands on her and praying for her that God would do it. You know, eventually God worked that whole thing and was a miracle to us. We got ground, folks. We picked up ground there. We got some ground that we had never had before. We got a testimony of something, and we got a confidence that now others, I mean, it made a confidence that you can go back to Africa with. God done something for us at that time. It's because we kept striking the ground with it. We mean this. Lord, we mean this. You said I can have some ground. I want the ground. Give me the ground that you promised me. I want to see the hand of the Lord on things. I want to be able to pray and people can get some victory in their lives. I want to see, it isn't just healings of the body. I want to see that too. But I want to see the overcoming of these things that are so, we're fallen, we're broken. We need help. And too much has been given to us. Lord, help us to do this. But in this scenario, the prophet was wroth at him and said, King, it was laid in your hands. God was willing to show his intention in your life, that he was going to remove this thing from your life. Makes me to wonder. So I got an enormous problem in my life. I got a temper problem. I got an unforgiveness problem in my life. I can get that half took care of. God says, I'm going to shoot the arrow of my intention. You can have complete victory over that. You can love when you're despised. You can bless when you're cursed. I got an intention. Now here, take these arrows. This is going to show you your intention. Well, I can forgive that brother and that one, but that one? That one was too deep and too hard for me. I'll strike this ground 3 times on this. I'm not going to strike it all the time. Because that's going to cost... You know, God can get you to the place, though, do you'll say. And that's what we want. Lord, help me to be in that kind of place. The man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria. I find this is so, there is so much understanding in this because of the 17th verse that said God's will, you will consume them. And then it says you won't. Well, how could it be? God's intention was to consume them. His contention was short. I'm going to politic this around a little bit. We'll only go so far. Perhaps we can use, maybe there's some things of Syria that we can benefit from. Why, if we consume them, you know, maybe we can benefit, maybe do that. God's intention was totally different. And the man of God was wroth and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, and they're going to continue through the ages to be a thorn in your flesh. And we'll look at Ephesians. I'll end in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. I appreciate the journey that God has given me from the time that I got saved to journey me over here to Green Bank. I didn't start here. To come over here to know the people here, the church here, to the journey that I've had, I really appreciate it. I find myself in places where it was hard for me not to wither in my past. To stand up and talk in front of people was a place that I withered. And God helped me to be not me, not like me. God gave me ground because I was willing to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I will smite the ground as many times as I need to. And then after that, there was times you wouldn't realize how many times I've been sitting a couple moments away from having to get up and do a wedding or a funeral, or have to do something publicly, and I'm sitting there talking to myself and talking to the Lord saying, how did I ever get in this place? Why am I here? Why did I ever allow myself to be in such a place? This is so not me. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. This is a disaster. And the Lord bless it, to the point now that I've got some ground that I've got. I still really, really need the Lord. But He's helped me nonstop for so many years that I've got kind of a confidence that He's going to help me again. I feel like I've got some ground. I feel like I've gained some places in my life. I used to be a little bit shy about going somewhere, and probably anywhere right now. I don't care who it is. It makes no difference. This is who I am. I've got some ground in this thing now. And I appreciate the journey that the Lord has put me on. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 17th, no, I'm going to go back just a little bit, the 15th, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So that context of that scripture there is that He can do exceedingly abundantly above. It has to do with a working in us, and God has expressed, Him as the one that can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said that to the children of Israel. He said that to Joash, and that they didn't take much advantage of it as they could have. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we are asked to think, according to the power that works in us, according to the desire that we have towards it. And it said that we might comprehend with all the saints what is the boundaries of our habitation, that we might take it to a further degree of our living, of our habitation. What, Lord, what did you give us? What did you promise us here? Are we to be walled around by the devil? I mean, God's people. Can you scripturally say that the devil ought to be walling us around? Are we to be a fearful people? I'm not suggesting that these things don't happen in our life. I'm suggesting that these are places that God definitely touched and said, you don't have to live this way. I'll give you this ground. You can have a confidence and a faith in God that can ascend this life here above that. You don't have to live down there and be affected by the things that the people of the world does. And I know that we grieve and I know that we sorrow. But the scripture also tells us of those that when we love ours, we're not to grieve as other men grieve, as though we have no hope. We're supposed to have a higher ground than that and say, yes, there is something beyond this. I realize it and known it for years that you're going to bury me or I'm going to bury you. We're going to check out of here sometime. But thank God there's something more. And I don't have to go around with grief. I can actually say, thank the Lord they made it home. Lord, help us to see them in there, up there, because it's inevitable. It's inevitable. Help me to strike the ground as much as I need to strike it. Get what I need to get, because God promised it to us. In the middle of the severest trials, you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read some of the severest things. Paul, on the eve of his execution, said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, and there is now a crown laid up for me, but not me alone, but for all those that love his appearing. So there's a victory. There's a victory here. He said in one place, I have a desire. I'm caught betwixt a rock and a hard place here, basically. I'm caught between two. I have a desire to go on and be with the Lord. But it's needful you that I stay here. He wasn't fighting about that kind of stuff. He had gained some ground. This is where I live. I can live in this peaceful habitation of faith in God. And it doesn't matter whether Donald Trump wins the election or Joe Biden does. It doesn't matter where the Senate's, what the Senate is, or what that. I'm saying that all affects our life and we play a part in it, but it's not to take our peace. I can have peace because God promised a peace that passes understanding. He had promised us more than that. That's the ground that you've got to get a hold of. This is my ground. I'm going to live here. I'm going to live here in a peaceful habitation no matter what winds blow. That's a promise. And you know, God has already shot the arrow of that intention. It's up to us to where we're going to strike the ground enough to get it. But he's got it for us. So I want to encourage us today. We've been given a lot and we're responsible for a lot. But we also have to have an intention. This isn't playing church, folks. If we do start playing church, let's just stop. This is not just playing church or a place to end up on Sunday morning. The reality of living for God goes out the door. That's the mission field, out the door there. Everybody you meet is a potential. Everything you do is a potential. God wants us to gain some spiritual ground, and I think that we are going to need it, to be honest with you. As I look and see the things that are coming upon the world, I think it would be really good to be charged up and have as much ground as I can get. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.